what your servant Paul wrote. And Lord, we know that under the influence of the Holy Spirit, he gave us your directives as we should do. And Lord, as we learn, fill us with the zeal to not only carry out your commands, Lord, but to love each other while we do it. And Lord, we thank you. Lord, just please remove me from this and let the Spirit speak for itself. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, do you remember either last Sunday or a couple of Sundays ago, I mentioned the fact that we need to watch and pray before the return of our Lord and Savior. Now, we should not only watch and pray for His return, but we should watch and pray for ourselves. Because the Bible tells us, as we're going to read in just a couple of minutes, that those who sin do so in darkness. But we being children of the light, we being children of the day, should understand. You know, back when I was on the fire service, we had a saying that nothing good happens at 3 o'clock in the morning. Nothing. The only people that should be up at 3 o'clock in the morning are firemen, policemen, hospital workers, and guys that work at Walmart stocking shelves. Anything out and about at that time usually is up to no good. And I think some of you in here can really say, when you go out, when you get the alarm at 2 in the morning or 3 in the morning, you go out, you're going to expect something bad is going to happen to the person that you're going to take care of. Well, that's because people use darkness to cover their sins. People are in, if they are not in Christ, they are in the kingdom of darkness. So it becomes a natural, a carnal way of doing things. You see, in darkness, not only do you hide your activity from other people, but you're also hiding it from yourself. You know, you think, well, God's not going to see this. Look, don't even go down that road, okay? God knows every hair on your head. He knows every breath you take. He knows every heartbeat that you have. He knows what you're thinking before you even do it. But we fool ourselves by acting in darkness, by not watching, by not believing, by not expressing ourselves in the day. So we're going to talk about that this morning. You know, it reminds me of a night watchman. Do y'all remember back in the old days, and you'd have the mall, or you'd have a guy working, he'd run around with his flashlight, and he'd look and make sure nobody's stealing the furniture or something like that. And we see them all over the places at government installations, people that guard at night. The reason they do that is because the people that want to do no good are out and about during the night. Why do they do it at night? Because, as we mentioned, they want their deeds covered so no one can see them. But God sees. Let's turn to First Thessalonians 5, verses 1 through 11. Now, I'm going to preach on verses 1 through 11 today, and next Sunday we're going to preach on 12 to the end of the chapter, because that gives more of a practical understanding of what we're going to be talking about today. But let's read 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 through 11. Now, brothers and sisters, about times and dates we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness, so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with Him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in the fact you are doing. Paul was commending this church. You are encouraging each other. You are helping each other. You're strengthening each other. With what? They're telling them that we are in Christ, whether we are dead or whether we are alive, if we belong to Christ. Now, previously, and the reason it started of talking about about the times and dates we don't need to tell you about, is there was a discussion about the return of the Lord. And they were having this discussion, and Paul introduced these things to them, and he wanted them to understand, because when the day of the Lord will come, it will come like a thief. But who is the one to which the thief comes to? Those who aren't watching. There's another place in the Bible that says that if a thief comes in the night, you know, he's going to surprise it. And if a strong man's awake, he can take the thief. But if the thief comes and the strong man's asleep, he can bind him up and therefore do what he's doing. We need to be watchful on everything we do. In fact, it says here, and this is speaking of the end times, when people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly as labor pains in a pregnant woman. Now, ladies, I cannot understand, no matter how hard I try, what it's like to be in labor. Now, I've delivered several children, about a dozen or so. In fact, I've still got a scar on my arm where one lady put her nails into my arm and squeezed rather hard. And I said to her, "Lady, I didn't do this to you. Let go." And she did. But the point being, it's going to happen suddenly. You know, when you're laying in bed at night and you hear something in the other room, you want to find out what it is. You go. If you know that there's bad things going on in your neighborhood, you don't sleep very well. You're up, you're watching, you're waiting, you're protecting, you're doing all the things that you're supposed to do as a man or lady of the house to not allow the thief to come suddenly and destruction to come. But you see, what God tells us here is that the world will be taken by surprise. The world is never ready to be confronted by truth or righteousness. They will lie and say peace and safety. And folks, this goes far beyond just our own personal lives. This is a view of the whole world system. When they say, they representing the powers that be, when they say peace and safety, better have your guard up. Because brothers and sisters, what's considered peace and safety to some people is not in reality peace and safety for the people. You know, you can have peace and safety under the heel of a dictator. It's not very pleasant, and the only ones at peace is the leadership, and the only ones who are safe are those that have the guns. But we don't want to be like that. We want to be watchful. The world lies when they talk about peace and safety. The Bible tells us that the Antichrist himself not comes in as a man of peace. There's going to be all kind of conflict in this world. All you have to do is turn on the TV and there's wars and rumors of wars. I mean, the Chinese are threatening to shoot down a gun. Would that start a war? I'd not be too bad with that, but that's a discussion for another time. But we still got stuff going on in Europe, and we still got stuff going on in South America. We got stuff going on in Africa. There's been a war in Africa constant somewhere on that continent for the last 300 years. It's nothing new. But someone's going to come in and he's going to tell the world, "I'm going to bring peace. This is what you've been looking for. You're looking for peace. I'm going to bring it to you if you follow me." And a lot of gullible people are going to fall. But it will not be from the Prince of Peace. It will be from the deceiver. And then when that happens, sudden judgment will come upon them. But we, brothers and sisters, are not children of the night. We are children of the day, and we need to watch. They wait, not for the return of the Lord, but for the fulfillment of their own ungodly desires and lusts. That's their peace, when they can sin without consequence on this earth. Now, we all know that there is a consequence for sin. For the wages of sin is what? Death. But eternal life is the gift of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Brothers and sisters, we wait for the return of the real Prince of Peace. And as a thief comes into unknown to the homeowner, so the day of the Lord will come upon the children of disobedience. For those that have no faith, for those that aren't watching. But when he returns, he is not a thief. The Lord will expose their sin and wickedness and then judge it accordingly. This is why they deny the truth so adamantly. They desire to continue in that sin we talked about, even though the Lord has given them every opportunity to repent and be saved. They refuse. And as the Bible says, their blood is on their own heads. God has warned them. The Word has warned them. Christians have warned the world over and over of the truth. The truth, not only of God's judgment, but of God's love. And when you embrace a lie, your whole world changes, and not for the better. How many times have we seen people say, "Well, I don't believe that. I don't believe that. It's not true for me. I don't believe that." It doesn't matter if you believe it or not. The truth is the truth. That's why they call it the truth. I can believe that the moon is made of green cheese. Does it? Or isn't it? Is better English. Of course not. God put that light in the heavens to help us. And He uses it for all kinds of things. But just because I believe something is right, unless it's right by the Word of God, it is not right. What standard do we use? And that's where the world gets upset. What standard do we use to judge what is right and wrong? We use the Word of God. Because it is the only truth. Jesus Himself said, "Thy Word is truth." And if we refuse to believe it, then we are asleep. We are not watching. We are not waiting. We're not praying. We're just going along to get along with the world. Christians, it's time we stop doing this. It's time. We as a church need to be different. So, what do we do for the church? Verse 4, "But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness so that this day should surprise you like a thief." We have the truth in God's written Word. How many songs do you sing? How many pastors do you listen to? How many times do you read your Bible? We read the truth. We should not be surprised. We should be ready at all times. That's why the admonition, watch and pray. We need to. Continuing, "You are all," speaking of the church, "you are all children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness." Let me read that. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. We belong to the day. Now folks, I enjoy going out at night, especially out on the countryside when there's no street lights. I mean, at my house at night, you got so many city lights and stuff, it's hard to see the stars. But like out of here in the parking lot or down the road or out in the country, you can look up and you can see God's handiwork, and it's just an amazing and wonderful thing. But if you stay in the night too long, what happens? You begin to get chilled. You begin to lose perspective. You don't know what's in the bushes right beside you. You know, I used to hunt on my land when we lived in Mississippi, and I would go raccoon or squirrel hunting at night because the raccoons would come and eat the garden stuff and stuff, so we would spotlight them and shoot them there on our own property. So I wasn't breaking the law. I was just doing, you know, nuisance animals. You know how that works. But you know, you get out there and you don't have any light, and the wind starts blowing, and critters start making critter sounds in the bushes, and you don't know what's 5 feet in front of you. And we had this creek running through the back part of our property. And it was about a 15-foot drop from the creek bank down to the bottom, through a bunch of sandstone and moss and down trees. And if you wasn't careful, you would step right into that creek and go straight 15 feet down. You had to know where things were. You had to know the truth of where things were before we went out. But those that go out into the night, those that go out into the darkness, that don't know the truth, will fall and they will hurt themselves. And in the spiritual sense, that means eternity. Brothers and sisters, we are of the day, not of the night. Verse 6, "So then let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober." And I want us to understand there, sober does not mean not drunk in this instance. It means serious, not flippant. "For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet." Again, Paul referring to the armor of God that he expounds upon in Ephesians. But anyway, as we said, we do not belong to the darkness. We belong to the kingdom of God's glorious Son, the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ, the kingdom of day, where the sun shines bright, where the truth is made known, where all the things that God has given us we can enjoy and be blessed with. In this position, we are given wisdom. And what is this wisdom? Knowledge to watch and wait, and to pray and prepare. I'm not very good at alliteration, but I like that. Watch and wait, pray and prepare. People who deny the return of Christ are compared to those who sleep or get drunk in the night. They are blinded not only by their own behavior, but also by the darkness around them. Now, are people today blinded by darkness? On many levels. In fact, I would refer you to 2 Corinthians 4:4, where it says, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them." Again, light and darkness. And who is in the darkness? The God of this world. And who is the God of this world? Well, you can sum him up in Satan and all those that work for him. You see, our God is God Almighty, Yahweh God. Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is God also. But they are one and the same, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They three in one, as we sing on many occasions, they are who we look to. They are the ones that provide the light. They are the ones that illuminate Scripture. Those are the ones that tell us the truth. We need to watch for them. Wait for them, pray to them, and prepare with the truth that He has given us. But the darkness is blinded. Now, has any of you ever been in a room that was completely, totally pitch black? It's kind of scary, isn't it? You see, one of the times I remember, Of course, I was on a submarine. You're 700 feet down in water, and the power goes out. Now, it takes about 6 seconds for the emergency stuff to click on, and unless you got a battle lantern right there. But, you know, when you're in the darkness on a submarine with pipes and decks and corners and everything, you stay put until that stuff comes back on. But there was absolutely no light. The machines were still running, just the electricity went out. We had a short circuit in one of the bus boards, and, you know, they got it fixed pretty quick. But it was pitch black. Blacker than anything I've ever experienced in my life. I've been in caves. I've been in upside down vehicles at 3 o'clock in the morning. I've been even locked in the closet by one of my cousins. But there have never been darkness like I experienced. It was a darkness that you could feel. Do you know that one spark destroys that darkness? When the power came on, it came on a little bit at a time, and there was one little light that was on top of a pump. And that one little light was an indicator light, and it flashed on. And from that one tiny little light, no bigger than a little LED light, I could see where I was. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness comprehends it not, because they are blinded. And don't let them tell you, "Oh, I have a philosophy that dictates that I do not believe in a divine creator," and yada, yada, yada. That don't mean a hill of beans, folks. When you deny the truth, you are blinded and living in darkness. And brothers and sisters, we should not be that way, and we should tell others how to avoid being that way. We who are of the day have the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ to shine in and upon and through us. It is a blessing and a glorious responsibility. It truly is. We are told to be sober, serious and wise, and to put on the armor of God. Why did Paul tell this group of believers to put on faith, love, and the hope of salvation is found in Jesus? Simply because we are not under the wrath of God as unbelievers are. And he tells us plainly in verse 9, "For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with Him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing." We are not believers. We are not appointed to God's wrath. Does that mean bad things are not going to happen to us? No, it does not. This wrath is referring to final judgment. And that includes parts of the tribulation, in my opinion. But it especially involves eternity. We are not appointed to wrath. Why? Because He died for us. So that whether we are awake or asleep, and I believe based on the language uses, that means living or dead. Because if you are asleep as a Christian, you're asleep in Christ. If you're awake as a Christian, you are alive in Christ. And we can encourage each other. God made it so that all those who believe in Christ as Savior and the Lord will receive salvation and not damnation. In fact, we receive no condemnation. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 tells us specifically, "Therefore there is now no condemnation for them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Brothers and sisters, in Christ we have no damnation, we have no condemnation. We are justified, we are sanctified, and we will be glorified when we meet Him. Why? Because to be absent from the body is to be with the Lord. That is our hope. That is what Paul is telling these people. He says, encourage each other. That doesn't mean you want to go jump out in front of a Mack truck to hurry up the process. But do you know, and I'm going to say this, and this may sound weird to some of you, but you know, I understand that feeling. There are times in life when I see people who are suffering so badly that they want to just go home and be with the Lord. And all I can say is, amen. But allow God to do His will in your life. Allow Him to use you till He is done with you. If He wants you, He'll call you. If He wants you tomorrow, He'll call you tomorrow. If He wants you 20, 30 years from now, He'll call you then. But until then, you are faithful, you are obedient, and you're watching and you're praying. Brothers and sisters, just because you understand a feeling doesn't mean you have to carry that feeling out, because emotions are transitory. And that motion that you feel at that moment where you want to just go ahead and go be with the Lord, the joy may be right behind it. The happiness that you're asking for, not a worldly happiness, but the rejoicing in your heart may be the next day. And how will you know that? You know that because you trust the Lord in His will. Brothers and sisters, we see truth. We will see truth and not judgment. It is shown that through His death and resurrection, we receive life together with Him for eternity. Let me read that to you again. "He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with Him." Right now, I am in Christ. Right now, if you're a believer, you are in Christ. And even if you close your eyes and you take your last breath and your last heartbeat, you are still with Christ. Doesn't that make you happy? Because it makes these trials and persecutions and troubles and illnesses and family problems and all that kind of stuff, it makes it worth living through, because at the end, you will see that God walked with you all the way. And it's important that we remember this. Now, whether we are awake, and as I said, I believe that means alive, or asleep, and I said I believe that means dead in Christ, we will live with Him forever and ever. Amen and amen. And this fact, as Paul said about encouraging one another, should be repeated over and over again. We are to encourage one another. This means Christians and not unbelievers, unless it is the truth of the gospel presented to the unbeliever. It indicates blessings and promises of faith in Jesus Christ. You know, again with another fire department story or ambulance story, I don't know how many people that I held their hand as they were about to go be with the Lord. And I told you all the story before, and I won't repeat it, about the little lady that asked my permission. But there were others that you could tell they were, even though their heart was still beating, you could tell they were no longer there. And you could tell people who knew they were about to die, and they were talking to you and said, "Something's happening, I know it's happening." What an immense honor it is to be with a saint who is about to go be with the Lord. And you are the last person that they will see on this earth in their physical body. And you get to share the comfort of Christ with one who is just about to meet Him face to face. Brothers and sisters, it is an amazing thing, whether we are awake or asleep. The common knowledge is that we all are in Christ when we belong to Him. And we need to encourage one another. We need to strengthen one another. Folks, it's going to get a lot worse before it gets better. And you don't even have to study prophecy and things, although you should. You just look around you with the evil. I saw something the other day that says, the devil doesn't even have to hide anymore. He does things in plain sight, and people still don't pay attention. And we as Christians, we warn people and we love people and we tell them that God loves them and there's forgiveness. And they look at you cross-eyed and they look at you like you're a brick. But you've done your part. You were the watchman or the watchwoman on the wall. You told them the truth. That's all you can do. Brothers and sisters, we are to build each other up in the church with this truth. This shows the love and mercy of Jesus available to every person who comes to Jesus in faith. Paul indicates that the church of Thessalonica was doing this. Calvary, are we building each other up? I believe we are. Especially after this last week of speaking with people at the revival and things of that nature, I really believe that this church loves each other. I believe that this congregation is sharing the strength and love of Christ with each other. Now, folks, we all understand we're all in the family. We're always going to have that strange third cousin, okay? But that aside, we are showing not only each other, but the community that this church loves Jesus. I heard a lot of comments, not from our congregation, but you know, we had enough of those too. But people from other churches going, "I felt different. Something," and it wasn't me preaching, I wasn't preaching that night or anything like that. It was the presence of the Holy Spirit of God that was moving here during that time, and they felt it. And they complimented us, and I was like, "Give God glory. You know, I'm glad you felt that way, and I believe 100% what you're saying. But it's not me, it's God." And when He does that, it indicates that we are watching and praying and living our faith as He calls us to do. So let me repeat this question. Are we encouraging one another with the truth of the return of Jesus? Are we telling each other, you know, one of these days that trumpet's going to blow, and that eastern sky is going to be peeled back as a scroll, as the hymn says. I believe we are. I believe most of us in here, if not all of us, are looking forward to that day when Christ returns. For we know just what He's done for us. The mercy, the forgiveness, the love, the reconciliation with the Father. All of those things He has done for us. Are we building each other up with the truth of our eternity with Jesus? This world is transitory. We are not citizens of this world. We are citizens in the kingdom of heaven. We are seated with Christ in the heavenlies right now. Is it a mystery on how that is accomplished? Yes, but you know what? I take it on faith. And the reason I understand this truth is because when I'm tempted to do something that I know God would not approve of, He lets me know almost immediately that I don't belong to this world. I belong to Him. Brothers and sisters, some of the stories you've told me, you feel the same way. God is moving in your hearts. And it's a wonderful thing. Here's another question. Are we warning those who deny Jesus or the gospel with the truth of His return? I try. That's up to the Lord if He gives you an opportunity. They used to call those divine appointments, where God sends you someone in your path that will ask a question or make a statement, and the little bell will go off in your head, the little siren will go off in your head, and it will say, hey, this is a chance. Just tell them what God does for you. And we take that chance. So yes, we need to do these things. We must, dear brothers and sisters, do all this and more. All this and more. We must walk in a manner worthy of our calling and live out our faith for others to see Christ in us. This is not a matter of salvation. It is a matter of being obedient to the call we have received in Jesus. And we all have received that call. Now, next week, when I talk on the last part of this chapter, it's going to give us practical things to do to show or to be worthy of that call. These things don't save us, but these things are the things we need to do while being Christian. But I'm going to ask you now, are you personally ready for the return of Christ? Have you been watching and praying? Are you? Have you been to Jesus for His cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you long for Him? Does your heart burn within you when you hear of Him or hear His word unto you? Remember the disciples on the road to Emmaus? And after Jesus broke bread and He disappeared, they told one another, didn't our hearts burn within us when we heard Him? When you hear of Jesus, hear His word, hear the promises that He gives, see the cross, how do you feel? Do you long for Him? You know, Paul himself said, it is better to be with the Lord. And Paul faced a lot of stuff. You can read a whole chapter about all the stuff Paul went through. But yet he understood it was better to be here serving the Lord. He would call Paul at the edge of a Roman axe under the Emperor Nero. Now I really pray none of us get hit with a Roman axe, okay? But there is going to come a time when we will see this world in the last moments. So before that time comes, do you desire for others to know the same love, mercy, and forgiveness that you have received through Jesus Christ? As you're watching and praying, do you share that love? I hope so, brothers and sisters. Because I can tell you, even though we've been blessed with so many things, as the people of God, He is the only thing going. He is everything to us. We needed that love, and He gave it at Calvary. We needed that mercy. We needed that forgiveness, and we have received it. For the Bible tells us that nothing can take us from the hands of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So, brothers and sisters, if I implore you once more to watch for Him every day with joyful expectation. Wait for His return with eagerness and steadfast obedience. We who are of the day are in a position where we can see His coming and we can welcome Him as King of Kings. If not, He will come as a thief in the night and catch us off guard and in sin. You see, Jesus told a very good parable about the king who went to a far country and he left. Wait a minute, I'm mixing my parables up. Give me one second. Jesus told of the king who went to a far country and he left his steward in charge. And the steward beat his fellow servants, lived licentiously, And when the king returned, what did Jesus say would happen to that wicked servant? Well, let's just say he had his run. Brothers and sisters, that servant was not a believer. But Jesus expects us to wait for him, to watch for him, and to be obedient. Because we are in the day. We are in the kingdom of light. We see the love of Christ all around us, and we can welcome him. Never let him catch us off guard and in sin. Can a believer still sin? Yeah. David sinned. Moses sinned. Peter sinned. Believers still sin, but we don't want to. We don't desire to. That is not our goal. Our goal is to please the Lord in all that we do. So if we're convicted, immediately repent, because you've already been forgiven. But you need to clear your conscience when you go before the Lord. So which one will we see, brothers and sisters? Will we see the light of the day and the wisdom that God gives us to wait on His return? Or are we going to hide and see the darkness? And believe me, the darkness can roll over you. You get hurt, or you get angry, or you believe someone's trying to hurt you, or whatever it could be, cynicism, revenge, whatever. That darkness will roll you up like a cheap cigar. But it doesn't need to be that way. In fact, God makes it clear that His children are children of the day. Let the day roll over you. Let the sunlight roll over you. One day a while back, I was getting ready to come up here and wasn't feeling that well. And I got on the road right there at Armor, 210. And when I turned left to come down 210, the most beautiful and gorgeous sunlight broke through the clouds, and literally I could watch it. You know how you watch a shadow roll? I watched the light roll all the way up over across the road and up over our car. And the sunlight was beautiful. It illuminated. You don't get those words mixed up, okay? Because they have separate meanings. It illuminated the inside of the car, and I felt the presence of God in creation. But He's not only in creation. He's in the hearts and minds and souls of His people. He's on the throne above. And Jesus is standing by, ready to hear the order to come and get His children. There used to be a beautiful song, Midnight Cry. The cathedral sang that, didn't they? I believe it was the cathedrals. They sang that beautiful song. I hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind, and it's closer now than it's ever been. I can almost see the Father say, "Son, go get your children," and at the midnight cry, we'll be going home. But brothers and sisters, it may come upon the sinners like a thief in the night, but we who are of the day are welcoming that. And I look forward to it. Which one will we see? Let us be in the light as He is in the light. Now next week we're going to start at verse 12, and we're going to talk about the practicalities of living while we are watching and praying. Because, you know, we don't just sit on our rumps and become the frozen chosen. We don't. We get out and we live and we act and we work and we show others our faith through not only what we do but what we say. Brothers and sisters, you cannot do evangelism unless you say something. Even if you live in everything you write by the Lord Jesus Christ, but you don't say anything, what kind of witness is that? You got to have both. And we can only do that when we can see. And when do we see? When we're in the day, where we're in Christ, and He blesses us with all of His promises. Let us not be children of the night. Let us be the sons of God, the daughters of God, children of the day. Praise team. So brothers and sisters, as they prepare, it's a very simple choice. Very simple understanding. Are you a child of the night or are you a child of the day? We need to remember that as believers in Jesus Christ, we are children of the day. We see the truth. God guides us with the Holy Spirit, with the light of His Word, with the light of the world. And when we see, we can live our lives accordingly. But if you doubt that at all, come to the Lord, and that light will penetrate you, and you will know the truth, and that truth will set you free. Be children of the day, as the light of Jesus Christ shines into your heart.